Audio Now.
Hello Holly, the podcast about interior, trends, and friends.
Hi, I'm Holly Becker from the interior blog Decorate. I'm an author, a stylist, and I have my own magazine called Holly, and now my new podcast about interior, zeitgeist, and friendship. Are you ready?
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Hello Holly. Hi, I'm Holly Becker, and today we're going to talk about my current favorite design books and what design themes for interiors are currently trending as we're about to enter summer 2020. So yes, welcome to the show. I'm so happy that you're listening in. I must add that recently I noticed more star ratings and reviews on both the American and German iTunes for Hello Holly. So I have to thank you so much for helping this podcast and for the ratings to go up. I really want to keep this podcast going. So your reviews and ratings on iTunes help me so much. Being able to speak so openly with you bi-weekly on Thursdays here about my favorite theme in the world, which is decorating and the home in general, has become one of the highlights of my career after working in the design industry now for over 15 years. I love this podcast and I hope that you do too. I really want to become better and better for you. And so if you'll just tell your friends about Hello Holly, review it and rate it on iTunes, and continue to listen in for the latest episodes, I would be so thankful for that. I have two exciting guests coming in May, so definitely subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss them. Also, I'm not sure if you realize it or not, but this show is actually co-produced by my magazine, which is called Holly and is published here in Germany and can be purchased online and shipped globally. So whether you read German or not, it doesn't really matter these days, because what you can do is you can hover over German text with your Google Translate app and it will auto-translate everything for you. So if you don't understand a foreign language magazine, well, that's not a problem, because you can still find design magazines both in and outside of your country, regardless of language, and give them a try with Google Translate. I've been actually ordering Australian, French, Danish, Dutch, German, and Swedish magazines for 20 years. I was thinking about that the other day, actually. I can't believe it. I remember being 19 years old at Barnes & Noble in Boston and paying three times the price for Vogue Living Australia and Elle Decoration UK and Marie Claire ID Dears from Paris, just because I was dying for international magazines. So if you too are dying for international magazines, then you can read Hello Holly as a magazine, which is called Holly, and you can enjoy it. And again, it ships internationally. So I just wanted to add that in case you didn't know that I had a magazine. I'm very proud of it. You can go to Holly Magazine with no E at the end, .de, and you'll find all the information about it there. Okay, dear friends, so let's circle back again to our topic, which is to talk about summer design themes for 2020 and my favorite books at the moment, okay? So let's get right into it with plants, okay? So I must admit, I thought maybe the plant trend was a bit fading. I saw less and less of them at the fairs that I visited last year and the beginning of this year. I remember in 2018 and even the beginning of 2019, plants were all the rage. They were in every booth. Brands were really using them as decorative accessories like never before. It was like the 1970s all over again. And it felt like plants were here to stay. But then something kind of changed towards the end of 2019 and the beginning of this year. I was starting to read less and less about them in magazines. I saw very few of them at the EMM Cologne in January and barely any plants at all at Formland, this big Danish design fair, in January as well. Actually, for a moment, I felt like dried flowers were starting to overtake our green friends, or that plants were being placed out of focus. They're still there, but just not as important as the other trends. And the plants were being slowly crowded out. But suddenly, the C word happened: Corona. and everyone is at home. People are experiencing their living spaces in a whole new way, right? I haven't baked so much in my life. I don't know about you, but I've been baking a million things. I started to really notice the walls that needed a new lick of paint, the furniture I want to donate or change somehow. I even want to move some of my things in different rooms. I've been looking at my clothes. I needed to bag and drop so many off for donation. I also started to get into something more seriously than ever before in my life, plants. I have about 25 plants in my home, another 8 to 10 in my office, but never have I dedicated time each week to care for them. One afternoon, I was meticulously cleaning each leaf with a damp cloth on my fig tree. It's in my living room. And I was admiring the leaves, and I was thinking about the plant and how lovely it is. I was sort of falling a bit in love with my plant. And I suddenly caught myself, and I thought, who is this lady? Who have I become? It actually made me laugh, because suddenly I realized what the term crazy plant lady is the new crazy cat lady was all about. It's for real, guys. My husband, since Corona and this whole lockdown, has created a green oasis on our balcony, and I've turned my winter garden, which is a three-season porch for Americans listening, into a bona fide urban jungle, and I'm very proud of it. Which brings me to the first of my five favorite design books at the moment, which is called Plant Tribe, Living Happily Ever After with Plants, by Munich-based plant expert, a friend of mine, and social media guru and blogger, Igor Josefovic, and French graphic designer, blogger, and also plant boss, Judith DeGraff. Igor and Judith created the Urban Jungle Blog online community with over 1 million Instagram followers and wrote their first runaway hit, the best-selling Urban Jungle book. Plant Tribe, their new brand new hit, is packed with 240 pages of beautiful lived-in homes photographed by Jules from Herzenblut in Berlin. This book was particularly interesting to follow. And what I mean by that is it wasn't a book that just sort of came out with a press release. It was a book that you could follow while it was being produced. The authors and their photographer traveled to each location that's shown in the book. So from Paris to the United States, to Brazil, to Germany, you could follow their journey on their Instagram accounts, because all three of these lovely people were clever enough to know that their plant-loving friends wanted to see the book being created page by page in real time. This is also a clever marketing strategy that most modern authors, who are also influencers and bloggers, know will impact their eventual sales. Their tribe crave behind-the-scenes glimpses. It builds excitement and anticipation. It's exciting, and it makes the tribe feel like they're part of the experience, which they are. I actually loved following Igor's account as he hopped on and off planes back when we could travel. Remember those days? And also, when they arrived and shot each home, I just thought it was so incredible to just watch that journey. And I really loved seeing the beautiful Plant Tribe book come together. Plant Tribe is divided into six core chapters: love your plants, good energy with plants, happiness with plants, well-being with plants, get creative with plants, and a room-by-room plant guide. Let me take a few steps back for a moment, though, and talk about the plant trend again, okay? Remember how I said that it was sort of fading from the limelight? Well, they're definitely back in focus again, but in a different way. Since we're home a lot, we're attending our gardens, growing our kitchen herbs, prettying up our city balconies, teaching our kids how to grow their first tomato plants, because we have more time. We're home, we're focused on home and the things we love to do here. We're also observing more how important plant care is and how it's related to self-care, how it slows us down and makes us feel good, more at peace and centered. Finally, and most importantly, plants clean up the air and make our homes healthier. When I asked Igor recently about why he views plant care as a form of self-care, he said this: plants teach us so much, and if we allow these lessons to happen, we will not only live happily ever with our plants, but we will be happier and more content with ourselves too. Plants teach us simple lessons that we tend to forget in today's fast-paced world, he says. They teach us to be present and in the moment, that we need to give in order to take, and not to just grab opportunities. Plants teach us to be patient and allow us to experience gratitude on a new level. I truly believe that taking care of plants, in fact, is taking care of yourself. And again, that's what Igor said, so we have to listen. In addition to showing rooms with plants and how they've been used to make spaces more beautiful, the even bigger focus of this book is to use plants to make yourself a happier person. Let them help you to become more creative, live more slowly, develop meaningful routines, and to be overall a happier and even more confident person. Yes, from plants. Can you believe it? One thing that I really appreciate about Plant Tribe, this lovely book, is its overall simple approach. It wasn't full of how-tos and a million plant names to memorize. It wasn't preachy or bossy. In fact, it was way more spiritual than I expected. It was a little esoteric at times. Even when crystals and energy were introduced in chapter 2, I thought, okay. But even if you don't believe in such things, reading about plants and crystals and healing plant energy and feng shui actually was quite nice. About 10 pages in the book are really dedicated to those topics, and it was really good reading because it introduces readers who may not often approach plants in a spiritual way to kind of take a new outlook. I read to learn new approaches and plant ideas, not to learn more of what I already know, so I particularly liked hearing new topics in this book. Also, I enjoyed Plant Tribe for this reason. There are lots of quick ideas and thoughts that stayed with me long after I closed the book. One last comment about Plant Tribe. It was the first book that I actually read cover to cover in about 2 weeks, an hour here and there. To be fair, I've read a lot of books during Corona that in probably the past 5 years that I've read, but this was a really easy and enjoyable book to read. It made me feel positive and happy about plants, and that maybe plant care can be a new ritual of mine too. Plants are here to stay, not a trend of the moment as it may have felt. Not like in the 70s when everyone had plants, ferns, and macrame plant holders, and then the 80s came and everyone replaced plants with silk flowers and pampas grass in vases. Before I wrap up about my Plant Tribe review, I want to add that my lovely German audience can expect Plant Tribe in German this fall 2020. So watch for that soon by following at Plant Tribe Book on Instagram. And you could also listen to Igor soon as my special guest on Hello Holly as we talk all about plants, plant care, decorating with plants, etc., etc. And that podcast will air in the next month or so, and I can't wait. Okay, now let's move on to another book that also spotlights a big movement in the interiors world currently, and that's The New Mediterranean, Homes and Interiors Under the Southern Sun. No author is cited, however, it's by the editors of Gestalten, who produce some of my most beloved coffee table books. Let me just say this. The New Mediterranean has my heart. I love this book. It's my favorite of the moment, and it's right up there with my favorites of all time, actually. It's on the shelf with Ilse Crawford's Sensual Home, which is my number one favorite home book in the world for over a decade. That book is my Bible. Ilse and I may not share the same interior style, but we share the exact same interiors philosophy almost one-to-one. Reading Sensual Home was like looking into a mirror. It was so reassuring for me to read when I first got it back in 1998, long before I became a blogger and design author myself. Do you have a copy of A Sensual Home? It's again by Ilse Crawford. If you don't, you just beg, borrow, or steal to try to find one because it is so amazing, but also it's out of print, and used copies cost you anywhere between 250 and 400 euros. It's crazy, but that book is gold. Anyway, back to the new Mediterranean. I could sense this was becoming a trend when back in October 2019, I was working on a Paris travel story for Holly magazine with a photographer, Oliver Fritz, who shoots for Milk magazine. Together, we were roaming the streets of Paris. I know it's such a hard job, trying to find locations on my meticulously mapped out list of must shoots. But as you know, roaming Paris looking for one thing always leads you to finding quite another, even sometimes better spots or the hottest new cafe that you missed, a hidden gem for interiors, or that random ceramicist that just opened a week ago. During our days together there, which were very long and ended around 9 o'clock at night, thanks to having compatible energy levels, endless curiosity, and a voracious appetite for exploration, Oliver and I kept bumping into cafes and old shops and crazy places that were newly opened like a day ago, with this sort of modern Greek vibe or very trendy global south of France or Croatian feel. You know that look and feel of the Mediterranean hotspots, like, you know, the Mediterranean always conjures up images of balmy days, plump olives, sapphire waters, stripes, washed out cream color, ancient walled towns, good wine, natural earthy materials like stone, concrete, marble, or ceramics, and rich earthy shades like terracotta and sandstone, with plant species that are resilient to drier climates, aloe, cacti, also shrubs like juniper and small olive trees. In fact, the Mediterranean Sea is commonly referred to as a LNLC, low nutrient, low chlorophyll, because it has low precipitation and its nutrient contents are low, making it like a desert, which is more difficult for plants to develop. So if you love the plant trend, but take a warmer, pared-back approach, the new Mediterranean book may be an interesting design for you because it introduces even things like plants that maybe are not your typical dark green jungle plants, but more of your coastal plants or your desert plants like juniper, aloe vera, and cactus. Okay, so the new Mediterranean book is also just a gorgeous coffee table book that beautifully illustrates the trend of the moment, which is also all about this Mediterranean style that's been interpreted in a new, more minimalist way, but warm, not cold. Step away from the memories of cheesy beachfront tourist shops with tacky decor and think of more the new Mediterranean style, looking like a five-star spa in Mallorca or Greece, relaxing villas, sun-drenched colors, or more monochromatic, mostly beige, Mediterranean-inspired pieces where living spaces spread seamlessly from the terrace to the kitchen, dining, or living room. As I read this book back in March, I realized that this whole vibe really resonates with people right now because we long to bring that spa or those vacation vibes home with us. We don't want to travel home from our latest vacation and feel like, oh, we're home. We want to feel like, hey, we're home. Vacation was great, but I'm thrilled to be back. We want to linger in the bath with sea salts and a mask on while listening to great music, candles flickering all around us. We want to sit on the patio on natural woven furniture instead of mass-produced plastic or synthetic materials, with linen cushions around us, with a spread of Mediterranean-style food and wine to share with our family. We want to bring home some vacation to sweeten up our space even more. We want salty air, sandy toes, a feeling of calm. This can also be part of our everyday life. We just need to introduce certain things, certain elements to our everyday space that gives us these great vacation vibes. I love what the book says on page 148. It's such a nice little point. It says, creating a sunny Mediterranean interior doesn't necessarily mean you need to live in the region. Praise the Lord. That's great, because the book just goes in from there to reveal exactly how to evoke the right mood by combining modern artifacts with rustic and tactile home accessories like jute, basketry, pottery, plants, patinated textures, and handmade craft. It's just such a lovely book. And I love the idea that you don't need to live by the ocean to feel like you live by the ocean. Also in the book, they interviewed several designers and interior stylists, one being Ez Wilson from Portland, Oregon. I loved her tips on how to take a normal home that isn't anywhere near the Mediterranean and turn it into this sort of inspired by the sea space without it looking themey or worse, tacky. She says this is how she does it. She starts with a white wall because that's a simple, easy backdrop. She then uses little splotches of earth tones on the walls because they have sun-dried qualities to them. They're warm, like deep red, burnt orange, cream, and brown tones. She loves rusty red cushions and wicker-woven accessories against her white walls because it rains a lot in Portland, and adding cold color just doesn't work for her space. She needs earthiness so that it feels warmer. She noticed a big shift psychologically since she made her home this way, and it definitely makes her feel warmer. This can also be the difference to a home feeling cold and unwelcoming versus one that feels cozy and loving, the color temperatures that you work with. Of course, in this book, you're not going to find a lot of real homes inside. It is by Gestalten, after all, and they are publishing like the best of the best, the most beautiful homes in the world in their books. But there are so many gorgeous houses in this that you will find some inspiration. The spaces in this book are mostly of dream homes owned by the super rich, peppered with a few more normal homes. But that doesn't mean that it's a problem. It wasn't a problem for me. I love the dream homes, and I found ideas from even those that I found really helpful. For the more normal spaces in the book, I love the home of Olivia Thibault in southern France, which was the most inspirational home in the book to me personally. It's a beachy chateau that absolutely fits how my alter ego lives, or how I would live if I hit the lottery. Also, the story about Caroline Pfeiffer in Copenhagen, a handmade heaven, was also an inspiration in cream and earth tones. I also love the Schoolhouse Loft in New York City. It was designed by Space Exploration and White Arrow and was formerly an old schoolhouse and is now an open floor plan loft with white walls, woven pieces, wavy and sculptural glass and ceramics, which are a hallmark of this new Mediterranean style. Modern, curvy, matte ceramic forms and glass. Striped bedding, another hallmark of this style. Stripes in blue, black, gray, or beige with white or cream. Arched doorways and very tactile accessories that make you want to sink in and stay a while. So yes, the new Mediterranean is a theme we'll see for the summer of 2020, I'm certain. Now let's move on to the next theme, pure and simple. It's been around for several years, but it's evolving even more lately into pure, simple, and with conscience. This is how people are leaning in at the moment to have less, a more simple life. And when they need something new, to buy things that are locally produced, or if not produced locally, produced with a conscience, a story you want to hear and feel good about, not cringe. I think with Corona, we have to think more broader now and ask questions about where our things are being made, by whom, and with what materials. Where are those materials coming from? Who's making these things? You know, not to be a downer, but I recently read a story about how cocoa in West Africa and even in other parts of the world is primarily harvested by children between the ages of 5 and 17. Most of them have no education and no money to even buy shoes. Now, cocoa is a major cash crop and source of foreign exchange in Ghana. These kids are clearing virgin forest and weeds using chainsaws, pruning trees, climbing up as far as 9 feet, mixing, loading, and applying pesticides, harvesting pods and opening them with short and long swords, and transporting heavy baskets and bags of pods and beans for long distances with no shoes on. Now, when you start to look at where things come from, like the chocolate that you eat, the furniture that you buy, and the glass that you drink from, you can't help but wonder if each of us are contributing to a larger problem. While I'm not living perfectly and definitely can't say I'm buying only sustainably or only locally, I reason that if I try to think more about my purchases and make it a personal goal to buy at least 25% locally or sustainably produced, then that's going to make a large difference, especially if more people make it a personal choice to put more conscience into their purchases. Even when buying local produce at the grocery store, my husband looks at labels, and when he has the choice to buy apples from Germany, where we live, or apples from another country or continent, he buys the local apples from the local farmers. Little things add up. And this is what is driving the pure, simple, and with conscience trend. We want to do better. Corona has given us this new pair of glasses in which to look at the world, and they're not rose-colored anymore. They're in sharp focus, and we have to make better choices. Again, it's not about adopting an all-or-nothing mentality. Extremes are usually like going on a crash diet. We try it, and it doesn't last. It's better to take small steps and do what we can and just try to make more informed decisions. This makes me think about a book I read in German that was, I think, published in early 2019 or 2018. It's by German author Marion Helwig called Pure and Simple. It's all about better living. It's living mindfully, living better. Marion is like the Selina Lake of the UK, only here in Germany. She writes title after title, I think over 20 books already, touching on all of the current decor themes in her beautiful, beautiful books. Pure and Simple is a guide for reduced living, living more simply and at peace. Out of all the books Marion has written, this is my favorite. It came at the right time as our longing for a more conscious and decelerated life has trickled over into our living spaces, especially now. I actually have a print on my wall that my friends always laugh at when they see. It says, "Offline is the new black." It's one of the driving forces behind a digital pioneer like me has written 4 books and launched a print magazine. I crave slowing down, spending more time reading in a cozy chair or on a blanket in the park. I love lingering instead of constantly swiping. In Pure and Simple, less is more. Interiors are kept pure, concentrating on a few essential things. The focus isn't on overloaded rooms bursting with things. While there's nothing wrong with overloaded, over-the-top, or more is more maximalist themes that we see from leading designers like Jonathan Adler or Kelly Wurstler, there are a lot of people who do wish to reduce right now, live more mindfully and sustainably, have furniture and accessories that convey durability and value, and live around natural materials, soft colors, and organic shapes. Out of all the interior books that I own, Pure and Simple and The Homes Inside definitely best represent how I love to live. Soft colors, ceramics, handmade objects, warm and inviting interiors, well-made furnishings that last, a balance of things, not too many, not too few, some flowers and plants, but not in abundance, Scandinavian influence, a bit of a global flair with accents from maybe Colombia, Indonesia, India, also with a happy and welcoming spirit. This book is just lovely. It's total eye candy. I really, really like it. One thing that Marion says in the book that I find so sweet is she says in German, "Das Auge ist mit," which means the eyes eat too. I love this. She also says the day starts nicer when the first coffee in our favorite cup nestles in our hand. Isn't that a great thought? So the eyes eat too. The focus being that not everything needs to be purely functional. It's nice when it's both beautiful and functional when possible. It just makes life better. These simple, simple moments are so actually big and important. Even if you can't read German, it's a great book for your library. Again, install the Google Translate app on your smartphone, open it, click on camera, aim it at the text, and it will translate everything you see into your native language. To conclude with Pure and Simple, the book has 8 core themes: pure, ceramic, plants, wabi-sabi, japandi, color, natural materials, and floral deco. There's home tours with 8 color palettes, 8 shop this look stories, 8 designer portraits, and 8 suggested color palettes per theme, which I just love. So that's all about Pure and Simple. Are you ready for my final book suggestion and my final theme for this podcast? It's Travel Home. Designed with a global spirit by American blogger Caitlin Fleming, from Design Blog Sacramento Street, and her amazing mother, Julie Gubel, who is a history teacher and the founder of Travelers Conversation Foundation, which is an organization striving to save cultural resources around the world. Julie has lived and worked in Mexico, Germany, and Switzerland, and currently both live in San Francisco. The book has photography by Peggy Wong, who did an outstanding job, I must add. The photos in this book are just delicious. A real highlight of travel home for me, besides the theme, is that you can find the homes of bloggers and designers alike on display, which makes it so much more interesting to combine a diverse group under one title. A book where Justina Blakeney and Marlena Berger share the stage with Nate Berkus, Jeremiah Brent, and my longtime blogger friend, Crystal Palachek from Rue Magazine. Because at our heart, we're all creatives, whether we can afford a 20,000 euro sofa or a secondhand one. It's what we make our finds and treasures into at home that matters the most, not our status, fame, or how much money we put into the space. And this book really mixes the high and the low being the DIY and budget finds. Yet the heart of the story is travel. And each home is unique and special, and that each space is filled with travel stories. These homes have travelers living there and explorers living in them. I want to highlight that this book is so nice now more than ever because so many of us just aren't traveling in the same way as we were before Corona. But that doesn't mean we cannot have a well-traveled home. No doubt we have things from previous travels and we can travel through the internet. Just the other day, I bought a gorgeous ceramic plant pot handmade in Morocco on Etsy. Travel Home has six core chapters: textiles and textures, art and ephemera, Zen simplicity, natural elements, found objects, and mixing styles. You can find both of the author's homes in this book. Caitlin's home, Traveling Soul, is in chapter 5. Her mother and co-author Julie's home, a collector of stories, is also in chapter 5. And even their photographer, which I love, Peggy Wong, styling minimalism, has her home in this book in chapter 6. Now, how many design books do you know where the authors and the photographer has their home inside? Wow, this was so cool and such a bonus for me. There are 20 home stories, 6 design takeaways, which are basically 6 gorgeous articles that help you to learn something the authors feel are important for creating a traveled home. These 6 design lessons actually cover how to collect textiles, how to source and display art, how to create a meditative space, which I really love, and I feel that's a trend that's coming, ideas for bringing nature into your home, ways to truly navigate a flea market, especially helpful when you can't travel, right? And how to style a bookcase, which makes sense because learning how to style in all of your travel finds is important, or else your things may not live so nicely together if their placement isn't considered thoughtfully. There are so many amazing home stories in this book, one for, I think, every style, but I love the natural collector story, which starts on around page 165 with stylist Kendra Smoot from California. I loved her living room and kids' room. You have to check it out. Grab this book and turn to page 165. You won't be sorry. I wanted to move in. I loved at the end of each of the 20 home stories, a true blogger style emerged in a short interview. I love this because it seems so common online on websites and blogs to have these quick little interviews with homeowners, but it's not so common in books. I love these quick, short social media style interviews with like 8 to 10 questions. You can learn a lot about someone fast and you can pull huge takeaway from their answers without laboring over pages of text. The authors ask questions like, what's your favorite city? What trip made the deepest impression on you? Along with questions like, do you have a particular souvenir that you collect? What hotel do you love? What is your favorite flea market? And so many other cool questions that gave me great memories, actually, from past trips I've taken. But also, I thought about coming up with my own answers because honestly, I've never thought about like which city made the most impression on me or my favorite flea market. And I've traveled a ton. So I really liked the questions because I directed them as well to myself, and I learned a lot about me. Have you ever actually thought about the answers to some of those questions? Like, you know, what is the one city or the one place in the world that you've been that's made the most impression on you? I mean, wow, that's a pretty cool question. And in answering it, I'm sure you'd learn a lot about yourself. Maybe you can make it your podcast homework for this episode. And if you want to answer that question, which part of the world has made the most impression on you that you've traveled to, you can go ahead and answer it maybe in by using a photo of that place with your answer on Instagram or Instagram stories and tag me. You can tag me at Decorate, so D-E-C-O-R and the number 8, or tag at Holly Magazine with no E at the end, H-O-L-L-Y-M-A-G-A-Z-I-N, and share it with me because I'd love to see your favorite trip and why it made a lasting impression on you. And maybe I'll share it with my friends and fans too, because I think it could possibly be really inspiring. So my dear friends and listeners, thank you so much for joining me today for Hello Holly. It was such a pleasure to speak to you on this podcast about these themes and design and these books that I love. And I just have to add that there are so many more books that I have and love and that are coming that I can't wait to read. I just couldn't fit them all into this podcast, of course. But if you like this podcast and you enjoy hearing about the different books that I'm reading and that are inspiring me at the moment, please just drop me an email and let me know. Also, if you know of some books that you would like for me to check out, you can also contact me because I'm interested in reviewing them here on my podcast. You can just send me an email to holly@decorateblog.com and I'll check it out. And if I end up enjoying the book, I'll definitely put it here in my podcast because I'd love to share the love that I have for design books and for design authors like myself, because I know it's a wonderful job, but it's also a hard job. Coming up in future episodes, I'll be interviewing Plant Tribe author Igor Josefovic, along with a few other amazing blogger friends who struck it big in the world of design blogging. And I'm open to creating shows around themes that you love or maybe questions you have that you need help with. So whether you have a design question that you'd like for me to answer or a theme for a 30-minute podcast that you'd love for me to speak on, you can DM me a message on my Instagram account at Decorate, D-E-C-O-R-8, in English or German, it doesn't matter. And I look forward to actually hearing from you. I'd love to hear your design questions or dilemmas or topic suggestions there. Oh, and if you like this podcast, please tell your friends about it and rate it on iTunes. If you really want to help me keep this podcast going, a written review on iTunes would help enormously. And after you leave it, you can share it on your Instagram stories and tag me again, and I can reshare it and follow you since I'm a big fan of playing it back and super appreciative of anyone who leaves me feedback on my iTunes Hello Holly podcast. It makes me super happy. Oh, and if you don't already know about my blog and magazine, you can visit Holly Magazine with no E at the end. So Holly, magazine.de, or Decorate Blog, decorateblog.com. For more information, you can see my magazine, my website, my design blog, etc., in those places. And that's it. So, my dear friends, thank you so much for listening to me today speak about the topic that I just love talking to you about, books and design. Wow. And I will be back again soon. So have a great day. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear more about what drives creatives behind the things we love, follow my podcast. There'll be a new podcast every 2 weeks. Please like the podcast in the Apple Podcast app so more people will find this. And I'd love if you'd share it on Instagram at Holly Magazine. I'd really appreciate it. I'd also love your feedback. Please email me at holly@holly-magazine.de. And you can write to me in English or German. I'm really excited to see what you have to say. And also, if you'd love to be a guest, email me as well. Thank you for listening again and have a nice day. Audio Now.